The Old Testament lesson for Ash Wednesday is written in the book of the prophet Joel, the second chapter. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land, and he had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle is written in St. Peter's second letter to the church, the first chapter. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, a blessed Ash Wednesday to all of you, dear ones. A blessed Ash Wednesday to all of you as I look out at you and you look at me and we see each other with the sign of the Holy Cross traced upon our foreheads. We are reminded today that certain days and seasons in the church year are for us very much somber and sobering and heavy, but also very much necessary and healthy for us. And as we embark together upon in the season of Lent, into the season of Lent, we are confronted with many things, many things. Dear ones, with ash upon our foreheads, in the sign of the cross, we are confronted with the fact that we are marked for death. We are marked for death because of our sins. We are marked with a potent reminder of our mortality, and that every passing moment of every single day, we are that much closer to our death and judgment every day. It will happen. It will happen unless our Lord returns first. But we are also reminded that we have been marked as the baptized children of God, baptized into Christ's own death, that we would die to sin and our self-indulgent ways and our passions, and that we would live new, holy lives unto God, lives of repentance and self-denial. And in this train of thought, we are also confronted with the words of our Lord Jesus in our gospel text. Dear ones, Jesus says this: when you fast, do not make your faces gloomy like the hypocrites. He says, when you fast, not if, when you fast. Our Lord Jesus expects us to fast, dear ones. There is no getting around this. There is no getting around it. He expects us to fast. It is a serious spiritual discipline for spiritual people. People who have been given the Holy Spirit in holy baptism. Fasting is for people who strive to live in step with the Spirit, who live lives that are characterized not by gluttony and drunkenness and debauchery, but lives characterized by patience and self-control and all the other fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5. That's what our Lord calls us to, and fasting is a powerful weapon, an instrument to bring us there with the help of God. The Lord Jesus says, when you fast, not if. You cannot say to me, Pastor, well, that sounds great. You know, I can pray. I can give alms to the poor. That's all well and good. But you're asking me now to withhold food from myself, even for 1 hour. That is a bridge too far. That I will not do. Dear ones, Jesus says, when you fast, he expects you to do it if you can. So given our Lord's expectation and the witness of the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Fathers of the Church for ages and ages, I want to make my appeal to you tonight, dear ones, to embrace fasting or at least abstaining as part of your spiritual discipline this Lenten season, combined with prayer and almsgiving. Here's the fundamental operating principle behind everything that I commend to you today. We Christians fast from things that are not sinful, like meat and cheese and wine. We fast from things that are not sinful so that we may fast from things that are, like lust and gluttony and greed and wrath, and that we may control our bodies and we would not be held captive, given over, and enslaved to our desires. The origin of fasting, as it happens, is in the Garden of Eden, in fact. Before God even gives the command to man to be fruitful and multiply, he says of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not eat. It won't happen. He commands them to abstain, even in the garden before sin has entered the world. And of course, through the instigation and lies and cunning of the devil, mankind refuses to abstain, and they plunge the world into sin and vice. How many other examples all throughout the scriptures do we see of the importance of fasting? Let me give you some. Moses fasted on Mount Sinai before receiving the two stone tablets written with the Ten Commandments written on them by the finger of God. And by contrast, the Israelites down at the bottom of the mountain, they fell into idolatry with the golden calf. And they sat down, scripture says, to eat and to drink, and then they rose up to play. They would not fast. Esau lost his birthright because he would not endure a fast of one single meal. One meal, and he sold his entire birthright as the firstborn son. The prophet Samuel was granted to his mother Hannah as she fasted and prayed. King David speaks of humbling his soul with fasting, Psalm 69. The prophet Elijah fasted 40 days before seeing the glory of the Lord in the cave at Horeb. The prophet Daniel fasted on one occasion for 3 weeks in chapter 10. The wicked Ninevites fasted after hearing the harsh preaching of Jonah. We know St. Paul fasted in the book of Acts, chapters 13 and 14. You can read about it there. The prophetess Anna in Luke chapter 2, she was 84 years old. 84 years old. Fasting. John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and as if all of that were not enough. Don't even get me started on the church fathers and what they have to say. As if all of that were not enough, the Lord Jesus is our chief example. He fasted in the desert 40 days to fortify himself against the temptations of the devil. He fasted willingly and deprived himself voluntarily to resist the devil in a prelude for what he would do on the cross. A prelude to the most holy suffering he willingly endured and took upon himself in his bloody passion and death to overcome the devil, that we would be set free from our bondage to sin, from our enslavement to our passions and the kingdom of the devil. Dear ones, he is calling us to be free as the sons of God, not to enslavement, but that we would be free from the tyranny of our passions. And he would not have disciples without discipline. That's not how it works. And think, dear ones, on the voluntary deprivation Christ endured for us. And is it really so surprising then for him to expect us to deny ourselves and follow his example? With that said, the words of Jesus, when you fast, also imply there are times when not to fast, when it's not appropriate. And there are three main seasons or times or circumstances in which fasting is not expected. The first is on Sundays and feast days after you receive the Holy Supper. And this is because the Lord graciously shows you hospitality. He opens his house to you and sets before you a feast of his own son's body and blood and the bread and wine. And fasting after that is just, it's not appropriate. Sundays and feast days are days for feasting after you receive the sacrament. And by extension then, when you go to other Christians' homes while you're fasting and they set before you food, they labor in the Lord with the love of Christ to prepare food for you, that you would eat and drink and be satisfied and enjoy their company, say nothing. Receive the food, receive their hospitality, and break your fast. Their act of charity and hospitality is more important than your fasting. The second season or category is for the ladies among us. All of you who are nursing or pregnant, obviously don't fast for the sake of the baby, for your sake. Don't fast. And of course, small children also ought not to fast. And ladies, if you're living under ordinary circumstances and not in a period of intense spiritual anguish and distress, and you're enjoying the consummation of holy matrimony during your childbearing years, Fasting during this season of your life should be quite limited, very limited, for the sake of childbearing, lest you oppose the will of God, that you be fruitful and multiply. And the third, the last one, is if you're under duress, if you're working ungodly hours just to make ends meet and you're exhausted, brother, eat and drink. Regain your strength. The Lord does not despise it when you break this fast. He certainly doesn't, nor should you. Also, if you have a serious medical condition and you're taking medicine that requires food and drink, take the food and drink with your medicine. Listen to your doctor. And finally, if you've found yourself in any of these categories I've listed, what you can do instead of fasting and limiting yourself to just one meal a day, you could abstain for Lent as part of your Lenten discipline. Just pick one day to abstain from something that you typically enjoy. For example, I know a lot of people enjoy a glass of wine in the evening. Consider abstaining as part of your Lenten discipline. And with all of this, dear ones, we do this because of what Jesus has done for us, how he voluntarily denied himself for the sake of our salvation. He expects you to fast, but how exactly you do that is a matter of Christian freedom. That is up to you. That is a matter of Christian freedom. I would suggest fasting or abstaining on Wednesdays and Fridays. Historically, this is when Christians have done this. Wednesdays, because Judas agreed to betray Jesus on Wednesday, and so Christians fast on Wednesdays, that we also would not betray Christ and fall into temptation. Fridays, of course, because Christ gave up his own flesh on the cross on Good Friday. And so we honor his sacrifice and abstain or fast on Fridays. In closing, I appeal to you, dear ones, make this a part of your Lenten discipline. Think on what Christ gave up for you, and would that we gladly deny ourselves out of love for our suffering Savior. And to him be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.